Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah. I am glad you're here. God is glad you're here. We got a purpose. We got a purpose for being here today. Praise God. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about purpose and about divine destiny, things that God's called us to do from before the foundations of the world. I mean, this just didn't happen. This is something that was planned, arranged at a previous time. I mean, just look around the room. Everybody here is so different. We came from different walks of life. I mean, I grew up in the timber industry in one form or fashion. Grew up in the redwoods. Yeah. But everybody here, you came from a different background in life. You have different attitudes. You have different personalities. You have different outlooks on things. That's what makes a body structure so unique. We need what you have. I don't have what you have. You don't have what I have. But when we get together, it's like a redwood tree, man. Those redwood trees, their structure is based upon their root base. They're not a deep-rooted tree. Shallow roots. But they're interlocked with each other. They hold each other up. That's what we do for each other. Amen. We hold each other up. And my message today revolves around your purpose. What is it that God's called you to do? What is it? Only you and the Spirit of God inside you know. But as you begin to grow in that, other people around you are going to see it. And I guarantee you, if you stop and look at any situation that you're in, if you're in a room full of children that are running around, you know, some of them are pounding each other. Some are climbing the walls. And you walk in and you see this chaos. But if you sit there and watch it long enough, you're going to see something happen. You're going to see a separation kind of take place. You're going to see some little child over there that all of a sudden is going to start, you know, doodling, you know. And you're going to see that. And you're going to recognize, well, that's something, that's potential that I'm seeing right there. Or you're going to see some kid on the other side of the room going, and you're going to go, there's potential in that. You walk into the room and you see all these kids beating up on each other, screaming, yelling, jumping up and down. But eventually you begin to get quiet and you start looking and you're seeing things different. You're seeing potential in the lives of these little kids. Our job is to encourage one another in the things that we see in each other. So when we see that chaos taking place, I mean, what's the first natural response? You know, shut up, be quiet, sit down. But on the same hand, we need to have things in order, but we need to be encouraging them in the things that we see in them that will push them towards their purpose, because they don't know. I mean, I've shown a little picture before. I don't have it today, but I was 4 years old. I was at Universal Studios in Hollywood, and I'm playing this little, and I didn't even think about it until David said something. I think it's a ukulele. It only got three strings on it. I was, yeah, emphasis. But what that was potential. I wasn't any good, but I had a passion for that even at that age. And when you see that in somebody, encourage them in it. I mean, if somebody would have encouraged me in things like that at that young of an age, I mean, Who knows? I mean, God's timing is perfect. Maybe it was supposed to take me this long to start walking in some of the things that God's called me to do. I don't know. But I see kids here, and I even use the analogy of, you know, I've worked in prisons as a counselor. I've counseled law enforcement agents. And I've also worked in county jails. And be honest with you, I have more of a heart and a passion for county jails, because you get them before they go to prison. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing as working with kids. When you see those little kids, young people, teenagers, whatever it might be, understand there's potential there that you can focus on and help mold and shape. You know, before they get older, it's just harder sometimes to deal with people who are already set in their ways. So my original plan this morning was to, Steve wrote a song, Stevie Bass, a lot of you, yeah, Steve, he wrote a song, yeah, and it's called Go On, and I'm gonna read something out of the Message Bible. It's in Exodus. And I'm just going to read a couple verses. I just got my voice back, so I want to wear it out here. So I'm going to go over some things briefly, give you a picture. But in Exodus, I don't remember what I gave you guys. Was it chapter 3? Let me see here. Well, we'll just start off in verse 1 of Exodus, chapter 3. It says, Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro. You know, let me give you the power verse first. It said, Moses answered God, but why me? Why me? You ever ask yourself that question? When God asks you to do something, or you think God's asked you to do something, and you're thinking, no, man, I can't do this. Why me? What makes you think I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children out of Egypt? My message today is called, Me? Are you sure? Are you sure, God? I mean, how many times do we question God? I mean, you do remember the 60s, right? You do remember the 70s. You do remember the 80s. You remember, God. Are you sure? I mean, I can imagine Moses is going through all this too. And each of us that get to this place where we feel like God's asking us to do something bigger than ourselves. Are you sure? I mean, Pastor Henry could do this a whole lot better than me. Yeah, that'd be Moses' excuse. Hey, my brother, he could do it. I can't. I can't even talk, man. I stutter. I do. You know, I've told you the story. The first time I ever spoke behind a pulpit, thank God, it was a big one. It was Assembly of God Church, and this pulpit was bigger than I can reach out. And I was so scared. I'd never talked to people in public ever. My knees were knocking. I didn't know that really happened. It does. Fear. I mean, they were banging. And I was, God, I hope they don't see this. I didn't know what to do. I just kind of froze. But as I looked around, I saw all these different people that came to see me speak. Cops that used to arrest me. School teachers that used to teach me. Boy Scout leaders that used to have patience with me, trying to make something out of me. Guys I went to high school with, played sports with. And I'm going, amazing. What is God doing here? I didn't understand it all. But God was bringing the body of Christ together corporately.
Amen.
Every denomination in that town came to see me. Lutheran, Catholic, Pentecostal, Presbyterian. I mean, this has never happened in this town. I mean, they told me about this afterwards. They go, Pat, you don't understand. Something just happened here. A miracle just happened. And I'm telling you, in this year, we're going to see some great things take place.
Amen.
You know, and I'm going to get into that in a minute, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but Yeah, 2020 is symbolic. You hear a lot of it across the world right now. God has given us vision for purpose this year in a really unique way. And I might run into this again here in a few minutes, but while I'm at it, I just want to bring this up. My prayer for you and for me is that we don't have just 2020 vision. I pray we have 2010 vision. A fighter pilot to pass his exam has to have a greater vision than other people in the military. They have to be able to see longer distance because of their job. I pray that you and me, us, that we will be able to see the vision God set before us in a greater way. Man, if you're a visionary, you can see the end from the beginning. You just realize, I got to go through all this to get there. So understand that God has a specific purpose for you, for me, for all of us, every day that we're on this planet, to accomplish great things. I want God to give us discernment, that we can see more of what it is that He's calling us to do, and by His Spirit, show us how to do it, and to do it right the first time, so that we don't make the mistakes that we can make. But back to Exodus. Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the west end of the wilderness and came to the mountain of God, Horeb. The angel of God appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. He looked at the bush. The bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. I'm just going to give you a rundown here. Moses was amazed at what he was seeing. God basically told him, look, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. You're about to experience me in a way that you never have. I'm going to give you some instruction. I'm going to send you back to Egypt. He's going, man, you don't understand. 40 years ago, I just ran from Egypt. How many of you have run from a problem and didn't want to face it? Anybody here but me? I mean, you know, we don't want to deal with these things sometimes, but we need to. Down verse 11, Moses said, he answered God, but why me? What makes you think that I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? And in verse, and he goes on to, you know, he's gonna ask God, who do I say that you are? I mean, the people are going to ask me, and I don't want to look stupid here, you know. So you need to tell me who you are. He says, well, you just tell them, I am has sent you. I am that I am. In verse 16, it says, now be on your way. Gather the leaders of Israel. Verse 18 says, believe me, they will listen to you. God is trying to pull out of Moses these hidden potentials. You know, purpose, the one example of purpose is the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. Every one of us has a purpose. And a definition for potential is having or showing the capacity to become or develop into something in the future. That little illustration I gave you of me playing that, whatever it was a picture of potential. And David and Steve were going to sing a song today, and I was going to explain to you that when you see someone up here that knows what they're doing, you're seeing potential revealed. When you saw me back there at 4 years old, it was just potential. But when you're seeing musicians up here that are playing fluently, it's purpose revealed. There's things in your life that God wants to pull out, just like He's trying to pull out of Moses. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Moses objected. Back up to 18, it says, believe me, they will listen to you. I'm telling you, Moses, they're going to listen to you. I promise. Chapter 4, verse 1, Moses objected. They won't trust me. They won't listen to a word I say. They're going to say, God appeared to him? Hardly. I don't think so. He said, yeah. On down in verse 3, it says, what do you have in your hand? Verse 2, throw it on the ground. God said to Moses, okay, now reach down, grab it by the tail. Grabbed it by the tail. Turned into a staff again. It turned into a snake. God said, put your hand inside your shirt. He slipped it under his shirt, verse 6. Pulled it out, and it turned leprous like snow. Verse 7, he said, put it back in your shirt. He did. Took it back out, and it was healthy as before. He's trying to give him a physical image of the things that he's going to be able to do through him if he'll let him. And this is all subject to Moses becoming obedient and submissive to God and his word. In verse 10 of chapter 4, it says, and Moses, I'm sorry if I didn't give you guys all these, Moses raised another objection to God. Verse 11 says, and God said, and who do you think made the human mouth? And who makes some mute, some deaf, some sighted, some blind? Isn't it I, God? So get going. I'll be right there with you, with your mouth. I'll be right there to teach you what to say. And this is what, when I was reading this verse of scripture, I just happened to be listening to that CD that Steve had made and his song called, I forget what it's called now, but it was reference to going, moving by faith, getting up and going after what God's called you to do. Verse 13, he said, oh, master, please send somebody else. Please send somebody else. Have you ever asked God that? Yeah. God got angry with Moses. Don't you have a brother, Aaron the Levite? He's good with his words. I know he is. And this is verse 14. It says, in fact, at this very moment, he's on his way to meet you. When he sees you, he's going to be glad. You'll speak to him and tell him what to say. I'll be right there with you as you speak with him, as he speaks, teaching you step by step. He will speak to you. He will speak to the people for you. He'll act as your mouth, but you'll decide what comes out of it. Now take the staff in your hand and do these signs. Everything Moses was going through is all symbolic. But God says, you'll decide. If you're in leadership, I don't care what it's in. If you're a doctor, a principal, a CEO, the buck stops here with you, a pastor. It doesn't matter what position you're in. If you have other levels under you, you're responsible for all of that. And we don't always want to be, because we've placed people in positions and we just assume they're going to do a good job. But there's going to come a time maybe when you're going to have to go down to whatever level that might be and come alongside that person and encourage him, just like God's doing with Moses right here, and saying, okay, why isn't this working? How can we make this happen? What can we do to make this work? This God really ministered to me as I was reading this, showing people their responsibility in leadership to take care of those that are in their or under their care. Amen? And he says, but you'll decide what comes out of it. Now take this staff in your hand and use it to do signs. We do the same thing in this thing called Christian life. God wants us, Moses was going to take his staff and go out and do signs and wonders. God was showing him a picture of the things that he could do. We have a picture right here of the things that we're supposed to do with him and for him as we walk out. Lay hands on the sick. Pray for other people. Cast out devils. I mean, we have in our hands, we've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. We are ambassadors of Lord Jesus Christ in this earth right now. Our citizenship is not here. You know, the root word for that word is politico, politics. Our politics are not of this world. The things we believe in, the things that we stand for, it's not of this world. Our home is heaven. We're just a passing through. You know, we just are. And I heard a guy on TV one time ask a rabbi, he said, he walked in, rabbi was showing him around, it was in Jerusalem, and they walked into his place, and he had a bed, and he had a desk. And the people that were there knew that this guy had a lot of money. He goes, where's all your stuff? He goes, what stuff? Well, your furniture, where's all the things? He goes, oh, this isn't my home. My home is heaven. I'm just passing through. You know, we're just passing through, and God's coming soon. He is. So potential. We all have potential. And in these verses, God sees the potential that's in Moses. With great effort, he's trying to pull it out of him. God has a purpose for Moses and has given him the potential to carry it out. Just like he's placed a purpose within your heart, whatever it might be, God is always trying to pull it out. Not only is God doing that, but iron sharpens iron. There's going to be people around you all the time that are going to see the potential that's in you, and they're going to, with great effort, they're going to try to help you pull that out, because it is easier sometimes for someone to see something in someone else other than yourself. Sometimes you don't see it. So we're there to help people see clearly what it is that God's called them to. And we always refer them back where? To the Word. We might be able to see some of the things that God's doing in someone, but it's important that we always refer them back to this, to read this, so God can reveal to them, so they can see clearly the instructions for their life. This is a manual. You know that? This is a manual. If I bought a CD player or whatever, and I didn't know how to operate it, I would have to read the manual. Right? This is no different. We have to get into this and find out what our rights and privileges are, how to operate in the things of God according to His standard of doing things. Amen? Look at other people and encourage them in the potential you see in them. Like God did for Moses, encourage, inspire, challenge, rebuke if necessary. Does anybody enjoy rebuking somebody? Nobody does. But you know, sometimes it has to be done to help them see something that needs to be changed in their life. So that's our responsibility. With great effort, help others see the potential that's within them. And if you would, go to Genesis chapter 1, where it all began. The law of seed time and harvest. Man, that everything that you do is a part of seed time and harvest. Chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Everything you need to fulfill your purpose is in you. It's not in other people. It's not in government programs. We see people all the time now where they're expecting the government to take care of them. It's not your hope, and the things that you need to fulfill your potential aren't in other people or other programs to help you get there. The seed is in itself. Excuse me just a sec. Got to do a Pastor John here. So, and something very important to remember, God never requires anything from you that He didn't already equip you with. He's not going to ask you to do something that He didn't already program you to do. And it's important that you understand that, because if you don't, you'll think that you can't do anything that's, quote, impossible. But God's placed within you the ability to do whatever you're going to do. The law of, or the potential of seed time and harvest isn't everything. The principle of seed time and harvest is applied in everything we do and in the actions and words that we speak. Every seed we plant produces after its kind. The words that you speak produce fruit, or they produce weeds. You know, we have a choice to make. Life and death's in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whatever we do, we're planting seeds. What kind of crop do you want to come up in your life? I mean, whatever you say, whatever you think is a seed, whatever you do physically is a seed planted. So every seed that we plant produces after its own kind. The things you do and say will produce fruit or weeds. I encourage you, produce fruit. You know, God does the same thing. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 30, 19. I call the heaven and earth to witness against you today. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Here's the encouraging part. He tells you right out the gate, choose life so that you and your children will live and live long. Choose life. Make that choice, because the things that you say are going to produce. Seed principle is very simple. If I had some seeds in my hand, and you saw me put seeds in my hand, and I asked you the question, what's in my hand? Well, I'm pretty obvious. There are seeds. But if you understand seed principle, the fact that I got seeds in here, that would be a fact, but it's not the truth. The truth is, there's a forest in my hand. This is called the law of seed time and harvest, the seed principle. The seed is in itself. Within a seed, there could be a tree. Within a seed, there could be a plant. Within a seed, there could be a flower. So within these seeds, there's a forest. God speaks in seed principle to us when he's talking to us. And I want to share some of that with you. Seeds produce after their kind. So in essence, what you see is not all there is. When you look at somebody and you see potential, you're not seeing all there is. You're really not. In Genesis 1:27, we got two of them up there. 1:27. So God created man in his image, and in the image of God created he him. Both male and female, he created he them. And I looked up something in a concordant Hebrew version that I think is really brings this to life in a unique way. It says, and creating, this is just the same thing as verse 27 here. So God created. And in the Hebrew rendering, it says, and creating is the Elohim, or the Lord, humanity. So here in the King James, it says God created man. But everything God does is in seed form, right? When God saw man, he saw humanity. The seed is in itself. And we need to keep that in mind and think about that in regards to everything that we say and do. This isn't all there is. You know, I think I'm going to bring it up in a minute, but don't ever judge a book by its cover. Don't do it. You have no idea what's in there. You don't. God does. And through our encouragement, it's all a process. This is something that God established, that we encourage one another. Right? The Holy Spirit's in us, in me. The Holy Spirit's in you. So God's going to bring us together and speak to us through each other in life. When you pray for someone, when you walk through the door, when you tell them, hey, man, you look good today, whatever you do, you're planting seeds into that person's life. Now, as I said, don't ever judge a book by its cover. We don't know all that's inside of a person. Person you're sitting next to, someone that you're at work with, pray daily for God to help us see others as He does. There's potential in everybody. Potential is uncapped resources that have not come out yet. You know, America's been sitting on oil for I don't know how many years. Uncapped. Drilled oil in the ground. It's just sitting there. Thank God for President Trump. Thank God for the move of the Holy Spirit in our country now. We're self-sufficient. They have uncapped those wells. They are using the resources that God has given this nation. Amen. We're the number one producers now of oil, natural gas. I mean, it's amazing. The potential was always there. It just needed to be uncapped. And the potential is in you to fulfill everything that you need to do. As you find your purpose, God will give you that 2020 vision for this new year that's ahead of us. And like I said, my prayer is that it's even greater than that, that it's a 2010 vision where we can see like a fighter pilot. We can see what's coming up quicker. We can have discernment about what maybe is going on so we can pray more effectively. I pray that that happens, and it happens in a big way. There may be some roadblocks along the way while pursuing your vision, your dreams, but God has always made a way. Even when a door shuts, He'll open another one. God's looking for those who will be obedient and of a submissive heart and willing to wait long enough to see the provisions He has supplied come to pass. You know, when God puts it on your heart to do something, whatever it is, be patient. It may not happen today. It may not happen in a week. It may not happen in a year. If God has shown you that He wants to do blah, blah, blah through you, whatever it might be willing to be obedient and submissive in attitude while you're waiting for that to come to pass. Because what God did is He planted a seed when He spoke to you and said, this is what I want to use you for. This is what I want to do through you. That's a seed. Now we need to cultivate that. We need to work on that. We need to water it. We need to grow. I mean, there's things that I'm just stepping into now. God showed me a long time ago that I wasn't ready for. He's showing me things now that are making sense in different areas of my life that I've been pursuing for a long time. So Galatians, turn with me to Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This word right here, what is it? It's a seed. God is planting a seed in your heart, in my heart, in my mind, right now. Don't be weary in waiting for that, what God has told you He's going to do through you. Don't. Give up. Be patient. Due season will come. The purpose why you are here will be revealed. It will. You may not see it clearly yet, but that vision's coming. Your purpose that God has got in store for you will be revealed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Mm-hmm. Did I give that to you guys? First Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Hopefully I wrote it down right. 4:16. I didn't write it down right. That what I give you? Okay, so you're right. Chapter 5. So I'm going to start in verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. And here's what you do while you're waiting between God telling you something or you got done praying and you said, amen. Well, there again, amen. A seed was sown. You're believing for something. Well, sometimes there's a time frame between amen. There it is. So this is what you do between that time. You rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Man, if anybody ever asks you what the will of God is, send them here. It says right here, this is the will of God for you. Rejoice evermore. When you don't feel good, when finances aren't that great, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks unto God. Amen. Your purpose, your potential, this is very important that I want to bring out. It's not for you. The gifts and the callings of God that He's given you, they are not for you. They're for others. It's the law of seed time and harvest. God gave them to you to give to others. And they give them what you've given them. It's a trickle-down effect here. Our job is to give away what God has given us. You are not your own. At the new birth, you became a new creation. And by an act of submission, you became a bond slave. You know what a bond slave is? It's a slave by choice. That's what Paul said he was. I choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ willingly. Whatever he wants, I'm there. I'm in. But you can get born again, going to heaven, but never become a submissive bond slave to Him. This is a free will choice on our behalf to serve the Lord. So we make that decision, just like Paul did. And with this new life, God wants you to give it away. All that's within you, give it away. It's not yours. Be a good steward of what God's given you. You've been given the kingdom. It's in your hands to give the kingdom of God away to other people. So be a good steward of that. 2 Peter, did I give you guys this? According to as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And in Proverbs chapter 11, we're going to read this out of the NIV. Maybe Pastor John would like this. Where are you? Yeah. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unruly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be there again, it's the law of seed time and harvest. What you do is going to come back. And I love what verse 20, it's possible, 24, it's possible to give it all away. It's possible to give it all away, but still gain more. Now, that only works in God's spiritual economy. your life does not revolve around your paycheck. Your financial life does not revolve around that. Your financial life revolves around the seed you sow. You can seed your way out of debt. You know, I've talked to a lot of kids going to college. They say, I don't have the money. I go, man, plant some seeds. Believe God for increase. You know, God says he will give us more seed to sow.
Amen.
You know, so instead of praying for God, I need more of this. And he goes, go to his word and say, well, if that's how your economy works, give me more seed. Give me the chance to be obedient to your word. Give me more seed to sow. So, I mean, this applies spiritual, in the natural. Whatever you do is seed sown. And that's God's, his principle and how his kingdom operates. It's possible to give it all away, but still gain more. And I just want to encourage you this morning, you know, if you guys want to come back up. Potential. You're loaded with potential. Pray in the Spirit. Ask God to reveal to you what it is that's stored up with inside of you that he's trying to get out. Just like he tried with great effort to draw out the potential in Moses. And Moses, I don't want to. Me? I'm not going, no, I can't. Our first inclination a lot of time is to reject that which God is calling us to do. But I guarantee you, if you set your heart for this year towards those purposes that God's laid in your lap, your ability to do things, run with it. Run with it. Go after it. I'm telling you, he's coming soon. He is coming soon. Maranatha. I don't know when, but I know it's soon. I take the Bible literally in everything I read. He's coming soon. So let's accomplish great things. I think he could come back before the service is over. So I'm going to live like that, but I'm also going to plan for the future as if it's going to be a while. But I tell you, if you think he's coming back today, you'll live different. You'll think different. You'll act different. You'll do things different because this might be it. You are a steward. If Pastor Henry gave me his wallet, he goes, man, go ahead, man. Whatever it takes, I want to get it done. I go, absolutely, yes, sir, man. It's easy for me to spend his money because he's made me a steward over it. I'm just being obedient to what he said. Same thing's true with God. I mean, everything that we have is not our own. I mean, Jesus is our Sabbath now. He is our rest. Our money is all his. Everything, plan it, use it, spend it wisely, have fun with it. He's coming soon. He's waiting on us to do something. And when you're sitting across the table from someone or you're at the store and God tells you to share or whatever he tells you, you know, share the gospel, tell that person I do love him, whatever it might be, do it. Because that might be the last person whose name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Right.
You don't know. So take your life seriously. Realize that you have purpose. You have potential. You're not your own. There's so much wrapped up inside of you guys. There's so much potential. I've said this before, but the wealthiest place in this town today is the graveyard. So many unwritten songs went to the grave. So many inventions that were never invented went to the grave because people didn't think they could. And I'm here to tell you today, you can. You can do anything. If God's asked you to do it, the potential is in you to do it. Don't argue with him. Just say, yes, sir. Okay.
Amen.
Here we go.
Woo.
Amen. Let's stand, please. Yeah. It's in you to do it. So my challenge is to do it. Be bold, be confident, be strong in your convictions about what you think you're supposed to be in life. And don't let anybody deter you. If you know that you know that you know that you know, go do it. Don't listen to the damn people that play it down or try to talk you out of it. Even brothers and sisters in Christ, they might say, hey, well, now you don't want to get too carried away. I mean, you know, this may not. You got to listen to your heart. You got to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you each and every day and just do it. If you're, you know, if you do something and it's wrong, well, you made a mistake. Do it again. That you grow as you go. You'll find out. You'll get more sensitive to His leading. God, I thank You for Your presence in our life. I thank You for the purpose You've given us. I thank You for the new vision that we have for this year and for every year that we're here waiting on You. Father, we lay our lives at Your feet and we ask that Your perfect will be done, that You empower us, encourage us to fulfill Your purpose. And as we spend time with You, help us to understand You in a greater way and what You want to do through us each and every day. We love You and we give You praise and dedicate our lives to You afresh every morning. Lord, prepare our hearts to serve You, to be like You. We know You're coming soon. God bless you. Have a great week. You are all ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell somebody about Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.